Good morning. Please be seated. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. For the sake of our audio record, I will mention that this panel of the court today is gathered on today's date, July 25, 2019. We're in courtroom 100. We have six cases on our calendar today, three of which will be submitted with oral arguments and three of which will be submitted without oral argument, solely on the briefs. The first case set for oral argument is number A19-0491, O'Brien and others versus Security State Bank of Fergus Falls and others. As counsel know, each of you has 15 minutes for your principal argument. Please identify yourself at the beginning. For the sake of our audio record, appellant's counsel, you may begin.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Jane Voles, and I represent the appellants Terry and Vicki O'Brien. Their husband and wife have been married for over 30 years. We are here to respectfully request that you reverse the district court's judgment that struck my client's claimed exemption rights for a manufactured home that they live in and a Honda Pilot, an old Honda Pilot with over 200,000 miles.
But is a manufactured home in front of us?
Yes.
Well, it seemed like at the hearing it was indicated that that was going to be addressed on the foreclosure of the underlying property itself that was scheduled in January.
Well, Your Honor, that was brought up by Respondent's counsel stating it should be brought up at the confirmation sales hearing for the sheriff's sale for the property, but that's not what the judge ruled. The judge just struck the exemption for the manufactured home. Judge Grunke did not hold that that issue should be decided at a later date.
Where in the judge's order did the judge strike the manufactured home?
It's my understanding he struck all of the exemptions.
Why was the manufactured home even listed as an exemption when the original order only applied to vehicles?
Well, the Judge Grunke stated in his previous order that we could assert exemption rights, and so we asserted exemption rights, and we included the manufactured home because that is a piece of property that is exempt under Minnesota Statutes 550.37. So we use that opportunity to add whatever exemptions we believe my clients are entitled to under the Minnesota Constitution and that statute.
But wasn't the bank's position, and it seemed like the court was at least adopting the idea that it should be addressed in January because it may well not have met the definition of a manufactured home, which is specific.
Well, Your Honor, all that was stated, there was nothing in the bank's original brief striking the exemptions regarding the manufactured home. We made the exemptions, my clients made the exemptions, then he made a motion to strike, and the only time it was brought up that it should be addressed at the confirmation hearing for the sheriff's sale was in the transcript. Judge Grunke asked Mr. Berger, who represents the bank, you know, what about the manufactured home? And Mr. Berger stated, well, that may be well better discussed at the hearing for the confirmation sales, but it was never brought up. The bank never brought it up in their confirmation hearing. It was never brought up because the issue was already decided. The judge already decided that they have no exemption rights for the manufactured home. That's how I read the order. And they're entitled to that. That's what the statute is for. I mean, the bank has a judgment of $1.8 million against my clients. They're entitled to have some kind of property to move on and are only asking for the old vehicle and the manufactured home.
Well, how if the manufactured home is on the real property, is your claim then that you ought to be able to remove it from the property in
yes,
some fashion?
Yes, absolutely.
Is it on wheels or what?
What's that?
Is it a manufactured home that's on wheels?
It was on wheels. It's now attached to the land, but under the definition of a manufactured home under Minnesota Statutes 327.31, Subdivision 6, it can have a permanent foundation. It can be attached to the land. Mm-hmm. So all they have to do is remove the deck, remove the garage, and pull it out.
So it's a, it's as it would be in any other mobile home park,
yes,
for instance, rather than on bare land?
Yeah, and it's a larger trailer, but it still fits in. It's a double-wide structure, but it was brought in there. This is before my clients ever even were involved with the bank. They moved it onto the property. It was on wheels, and they can take it out.
Is there any evidence before the district court to show that the manufactured home met the definition, that the residence at issue here met the definition, meets the definition of manufactured home in terms of size and other factors?
No, there's nothing in the record below. So that's why we refer to the actual public property records, where they actually have a diagram in the Douglas County records showing it and calling it a manufactured home, and it's taxed as a manufactured home. It was never, no one ever made the arguments regarding stating it was not a manufactured home. It's always been a manufactured home, so there's nothing in the record, no objections by the bank.
Well, if you're claiming the exemption, though, doesn't your client have the burden to demonstrate that it meets the definition of manufactured home, to produce evidence to demonstrate that?
That's a slippery slope as to how much they have to prove. I mean, it's always been considered a manufactured home. It's considered a manufactured home by the property record. So I don't know how many hoops my clients have to go through. I mean, do they have to get an expert to say it's a manufactured home? I mean, the public records state it is, so I think it's simple as that, and the bank has...
There's something, I'm in trouble finding it right at the moment, but I remember reading something in respondent's brief regarding the public records, and that there's a posting on the website. Oh, here it is, on page 17 of respondent's brief. In footnote 8, at the page 16 through 17, footnote 8, that the website contains a disclaimer that the information is available on an as-is basis. So I'm not sure that this information is the type that is really proper, that the appellate court should properly take judicial notice of. Can you address that?
Well, it is a public record, and I believe you are able to take judicial notice, but if you weren't, as I stated in my reply brief, as a matter of judicial economy, you can make that decision and go beyond the record that doesn't specifically describe the manufactured home. When my clients claimed the exemption rights, they stated the manufactured home. The bank did a brief asking to strike the exemptions and never objected that there was not enough in the record to claim it's a manufactured home. So it really wasn't litigated. But I guess it's how much should my clients go through to try to just claim these exemption rights. And also the statute is to be liberally construed in favor of the debtors, which is my clients, Mr. and Mrs. O'Brien.
Is there any suggestion that the manufactured home is a vehicle?
No. There's never been a suggestion that it's a vehicle.
I mean, my understanding is that the order we're reviewing was the resolution of the bank's motion for an order directing issuance of vehicle titles. And so, I'm further perplexed, in addition to the questioning that's occurred so far, about why we're talking about a manufactured home if the motion is solely related to issuing titles for vehicles.
Well, like I stated earlier, we did just claim all the exemptions at that time because that was a good opportunity to claim the exemptions. And the judge never said, hey, you don't have the right to claim these exemptions, even though the district court's original order referred to vehicles. You know, there's nothing in the statute that states when you have to claim the exemptions or how you have to claim the exemptions. It's very vague. So that was a great time, you know, for my clients to say, hey, we're claiming these vehicle exemptions as well as this other property. So.
I have some questions for you relating to the security agreement itself.
Yes, Your Honor.
As it relates to the Honda. at the bottom of the security agreement, it is a commercial security agreement, and at the bottom it says use of property. The property will be used for, and then there's three boxes that can be checked, personal, business, or agriculture. And two of those boxes were checked, business and agriculture, but personal wasn't checked.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you're arguing that the Honda is not subject to this security agreement because it's personal property.
Yes, Your Honor. That's one of the arguments.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah. I know you have an alternative argument about consumer goods. Respondent, I think, argues that it still is within the scope of this agreement. And can you explain to me what your interpretation of that language at the bottom relating to use of property is, what its purpose is?
Well, my interpretation is this all relates to, first of all, it's a commercial security agreement, which relates to Shamrock Sod and Landscaping, owned by my clients. And this was just another way for the bank to, you know, they had them do a personal one, Terry and Vicki O'Brien, but it always goes back to the commercial security agreement, and that's why just business and agricultural is checked. So personal property, I consider the vehicle, the Honda Pilot, personal property. It's also a consumer good, and so this particular security agreement does not attach or does not pledge that piece of collateral.
Is there any dispute that the Honda was used solely for personal purposes?
There is no dispute that it was used for anything but commercial purposes. I mean, sorry.
Commercial?
Personal. I'm sorry. It was never used for commercial purposes. It was Vicki's private vehicle, personal vehicle that she used. And I just would like to bring up another point about Moyer. Moyer, which is kind of the pivotal case in some respect here, that relates to a vehicle, and it is a personal vehicle, but that vehicle was specifically pledged in a security agreement. The person defaulted, and they said you can't claim the exemption rights. And the language of that case, they say it needs to be specifically identified property. So there is a question as to whether or not the broad categories that are listed in security agreements apply to the exemption rights. Because the Moyer case, it's a specific car pledged to that specific security agreement. So now are we going to expand Moyer and say even if you have a general security agreement that lists vehicles, and by the way, this was related to this is a commercial security agreement, if that somehow now precludes you from ever claiming that exemption right for a vehicle.
And doesn't state law, though, authorize identification by category, and that's what the security agreement does?
Yes, you're exactly right. But does that apply to the exemption rights and Moyer, who in Moyer it's just a little bit different because they actually listed that vehicle. That's what the loan was about, that vehicle. And this vehicle is quite interesting because my clients did buy it with a loan and paid the loan in full back.
But that doesn't mean it couldn't be subject to another type of security agreement.
Yes, Your Honor, you're right. But
Was the Honda even listed in the original order?
No. The bank never asked for issuance of title for that vehicle, and it's never been repossessed. So
why is there an issue with it then?
Well, because they can come and repossess it at any time. So we're trying to get the record clear. Or, you know, does my client, Vicki O'Brien, get to keep her car? You know, or they have to just wait? Can the bank come and get it at any time? It's just hanging out there. And the bank originally took the position, it was kind of a waffling position, no, we don't think we'll repossess it, but we don't know for sure what they're going to do with it. And so obviously they're fighting it tooth and nail at this time over this car that's not worth hardly anything, but it's a car that my client needs to travel with. So
am I correct, If you could please look at page 5 of the addendum to your brief. I mean, this is the order that was issued before you filed exemptions. But is the Honda Pilot listed anywhere on that page?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. So, I mean, so there was no, I mean, the district court did not allow the bank to take title to the Honda Pilot.
No.
So why was there a need to file an exemption?
Because the bank is claiming a security interest in that vehicle.
But it wasn't part of their motion. I mean the same inventory list, I think, was attached to their motion, right?
You're right. But we just included it, like I stated before, in the list of exemptions so we could clear title to that vehicle. So the bank is released from it, and the bank won't release it.
So does that security interest show on the title? I would think it doesn't.
I am not sure if it's on the title or not. I don't know if they ever got a release from the original loan. So I can't answer that question.
Okay. Seems like we're being asked to answer sort of an abstract question of a possible future dispute, but I don't understand what the present dispute is between the parties.
The present dispute for this, there's a lot of disputes with an ongoing appeal that's in a related case, but the issue here is whether or not the O'Briens can claim the Honda Pilot, the bank releases it, and the manufactured home as their property under Minnesota Statute 550.37. It's pretty, I think it's a very simple issue. And like I stated before, there is no specific procedure to claim these exemption rights. So we're just doing the best we can to try to have my clients have just a small amount of property based on that statute.
Okay, thank you for your argument. You will have an opportunity for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Mr. Berger, you may approach and begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Matthew Berger. I'm appearing today on behalf of Security State Bank of Fergus Falls. I'd like to start by just addressing a few of the issues that have already come up. I believe that most of the issues in this case are addressed in the brief. But just to address a few points, starting with the manufactured home and whether that is even before this court at this time. The answer to that, quite simply, is no, it is not before this court. And the context in which this dispute arose, and by this dispute, I mean the dispute over the exemptions, is critical. The bank enforced security interests in personal property, obtained an order of replevin to go and take possession and liquidate that personal property pursuant to the district court order enforcing its security agreement. The bank did that. The bank seized a number of items of personal property, primarily heavy equipment, vehicles, and tools. In the course of scheduling the sale for that, the bank needed to obtain titles to the titled motor vehicles, brought the motion, the exemption issue was raised, and we got the exemption notice, we brought the motion in that context. Our motion did not seek to strike all of the claimed exemptions. We only argued about the exemptions that were at issue at the time. The manufactured home was not addressed in our motion. It was not addressed in plaintiff's motion, other than to say the bank does not appear to address this in their motion. We get to the court hearing and we say we're not addressing it here. This is properly addressed as part of the foreclosure, and in a minute I'll get to why that was the proper place that this should have been raised. And the district court's order did not address the manufactured home issue at all. The court's order granted our motion, which was focused on the vehicles. So the manufactured home issue was not litigated below and is not before the court and does not require reversal of this order.
So perhaps, can I stop you there?
Yes.
But I'd like, I don't want to, this is useful, so I don't want to prevent you from going forward. But I guess maybe I misunderstood that we're reviewing an order ruling on the motion for issuance of vehicle titles. Maybe we're reviewing an order on your motion to strike exemptions. Would that be a better way of saying it?
Your Honor, I believe that that is
accurate.
I believe that is the order that is before the court, is the order on the motion to strike exemptions. And that motion specifically said, to the extent, we're making the motion to strike to the extent, and let me find it so I can get the exact language for you. To the extent that such notices improperly exert exemptions from the bank's rights. So we weren't challenging all exemptions.
I'm sorry, and where were you reading from there?
From the notice of motion and motion.
To the extent that, I'm sorry, can you repeat that, please?
The bank hereby moves the court for an order striking Terry O'Brien's notice of exemption rights and Vicki O'Brien's notice of exemption rights filed October 17, 2018, to the extent that such notices improperly assert exemptions from the bank's rights as a secured creditor. We then file a memorandum of law which discusses the vehicles and arguing that those exemption rights were not properly filed. We also addressed farm equipment and a couple other things, not manufactured homes.
But hadn't they listed that on initially in their pleadings?
They had
manufactured home.
They had included it on their notice of exemption rights, mm-hmm. But the bank has never sought to enforce a security interest in a manufactured home.
The court, though, did say that the remaining property, this is on page 3 of the addendum, in the order dated January 31st, 2019, that the remaining property identified in the notices cannot qualify for exemptions because it's subject to a valid enforceable security interest. So do you interpret that language to be to include the manufactured home or not?
I do not, Your Honor.
Even though it was identified in the exemption notice?
Yes, Your Honor, because the bank has never sought to enforce a security interest in a manufactured home.
How about the Honda Pilot, then? That wasn't listed in the original list of vehicles.
The bank has not repossessed the Honda Pilot, but the bank has asserted a security interest in the Honda Pilot, so that would be covered by the order.
Okay.
But the reason that distinction, and I was very specific in the words there, the bank has not sought to enforce a security interest in a manufactured home. And the reason for that is we do not believe that the structure on the property is a manufactured home. We believe that it is affixed to the real estate and is part of the real estate that is subject to the foreclosure proceedings. And so that issue becomes a foreclosure issue and not a security interest issue that's governed by Article 9 of the UCC. It's a real property issue. Is this structure affixed to the property? Did it become attached and become part of the real property? That is our position and the position by which we assert rights in that manufactured home, not under a security interest.
But the court never really addressed that nuance of the issue. Is that a fair statement?
The court did not, but the court did not because through the briefing, it was never addressed. And at the hearing, it was discussed that that was properly part of the foreclosure proceeding on the real estate and not part of the exemption claim. So it's not surprising in that context that the district court would not reach out to address the issue that was not briefed by the parties and that at the oral argument was said this is part of the foreclosure proceeding and not the exemption proceeding. So I don't think there's anything to read into the fact that the district court didn't address it other than the court did not believe it was before it.
Is the foreclosure proceeding still ongoing then?
Your Honor, the foreclosure sale has been confirmed. The redemption period is continuing to run. I believe that expires in September I don't recall the exact date, on this piece of real property. There's a second piece of real property that had a one-year redemption period instead of a six-month redemption period. But for this piece of real property, the redemption expires in September.
Is there any difference in manufactured homes that are placed on a person's property as opposed to those that are placed on someone else's property, such as a mobile home park?
There can be, Your Honor, and the facts and circumstances of a manufactured home are important in that there are ways that a manufactured home becomes affixed to the real estate and becomes real property and not personal property. And those facts and circumstances relate to other structures being built around it such that it's no longer able to be transported. And council referred to a garage and a deck. I believe that there's no evidence in the record of this. But if this had been litigated, I believe the evidence would show that there's more than a garage, that there's other rooms that are incorporated as part of the house that are not part of what may have originally been a manufactured home. There's also a process by law by which a owner can surrender title and make the home part of the real property, and there's no evidence on the record of whether that's been done, because this issue was not raised until now. This case has been going on for 4 years, and the issue of the manufactured home was not raised by plaintiffs in any way, saying that this was not part of the real estate. It was pursued by the bank as part of its mortgage foreclosure, as part of the real estate, and frankly, it didn't come up till this appeal. So there's no evidence in the record establishing that this is, in fact, a manufactured home that has not been attached to the real estate. So for that reason, this court should affirm the district court's order with respect to the manufactured home. With respect to the Honda Pilot, at the district court, the argument from the plaintiffs was that the bank did not have a valid security interest in the Honda Pilot because the bank had also previously had a purchase money security interest to secure a different loan, and that loan had been satisfied. There was no argument at all that this was a consumer goods transaction. There was no argument at all that the description of the property was not sufficient under the Uniform Commercial Code.
Wasn't there an argument that it was used for personal use, though, and wasn't covered by the security agreement for that reason? Is that a new argument?
Your Honor, I believe that is a new argument as well. I do not recall that being raised. The argument that was being raised was the bank does not have a valid interest in this piece of property because the prior loan was satisfied.
Assuming for a moment it was raised, does this security agreement cover property that's solely used for personal purposes?
Your Honor, if by this security agreement you're referring to the October 6, 2003?
Yeah, the one that's at issue in this case. In the addendum, yeah. Page 11.
Yeah, I want to be...
As I understand it, it's the 2003, October 2003 security agreement that is at issue in this case.
Yeah, and I'll address that specific agreement because I think that there is a point here that relates to other security interests that I'll get to in a minute. But with respect to that security agreement, the answer to your question is yes, the property is covered by that even though it's used for personal use. If it is within the description that is set forth in the section of that security interest. And there's...
Then, help me understand, because if you can turn to ADD 11 attached to appellant's brief.
Yes.
The commercial security agreement states that property identified is subject to the described in the security agreement as subject to the security agreement, and I agree it lists equipment and equipment lists vehicles, so that would include a Honda Pilot. But then at the bottom it says use of property. The property will be used for, and then there's, as I described earlier, there's three boxes, personal, business, and agriculture, only two of which are checked, business and agricultural purposes.
Yes, Your Honor.
So doesn't that, what is the meaning of that language?
Your Honor, the meaning of that language is to impose restrictions that could be enforced or to provide information about how the debtors, the people granting the security interest, are to use the property. It doesn't limit.
So it's your position that this language means that any vehicle that the debtors own can only be used for business or agricultural purposes? They can't have a personal use vehicle under this security agreement?
Your Honor, my interpretation would be that the primary use for the vehicles is intended to be business or agricultural.
But it doesn't say primary. It just says the property will be used for, and it says vehicles. It lists, you know, it doesn't say except personal use vehicles. It says vehicles. So under your interpretation, it seems vehicles could only be used, all their vehicles could only be used for those two purposes.
Hypothetically speaking, I suppose that my position could be taken to that extreme. That's not the issue here. From a contract interpretation point of view, what I think is important is we have the description above that defines what the property is, and that description does not contain the limitation of the types of use. That's a separate section, and it doesn't purport to limit what's included within the scope of the property. It just states what that property will be used for. So there's no language in there limiting the description of the property.
Okay. Thank you.
I want to get, and I have just a brief time, I clarify which security agreement we're talking to, because there's other security interests that were raised in this case and that were raised in the bank's counterclaims. We never got to specifically addressing them because this issue was not raised in the district court. Had it been, I would note that there is security agreement that's attached to the counterclaims as Exhibit O that specifically describes the 2006 Honda Pilot and that secures all debts owed by Terry and Vicki O'Brien to the bank. So that security interest would have given us the same rights and specifically described it. And in their answer to the counterclaim, the plaintiffs admitted that they executed that security agreement too. So I acknowledge we did not argue that at the district court, but that's because this issue was not raised.
Of course, the Honda didn't exist in 2003.
The Honda did not exist in 2003.
Did you argue that in your responsive brief on appeal? I'm looking for it now.
No, Your Honor, we did not, because it was in the reply brief when counsel first raised the issue about after-acquired property. So that issue was not in their initial brief either. So that is why I'm raising it now.
Okay, your time has expired. Thank you, Mr. Berger.
I just have 4 points I'd like to make. The first point regarding this Exhibit O that Mr. Berger claims was attached to their counterclaim and the Honda Pilot was listed, I've never heard that argument, and I've never seen a commercial security agreement or any security agreement listing the Honda Pilot as collateral except the original loan they took out and paid back. So I don't know, I'm very confused about that argument. Secondly, just as Judge Cochran pointed out, the court in its order, which is the subject of this appeal, specifically stated that it denied all the exemptions in the notices. That was the order. And in the notices, the manufactured home was included. So that ruling was made. And in the bank's motion to strike the claimed exemptions in the notices, the bank, just as Mr. Berger admitted as he read his motion, they moved to strike all of the exemption claims in the notices. So that includes the manufactured home. Their failure to argue it or discuss it, that's their problem. It was in the notices. They moved to strike the notices. The judge struck all the property claimed in the notices. So I just want to make that clear. That's what the record shows. The other point I want to bring up is the manufactured home and whether or not it's part of the real estate. Mr. Berger brought up a great point that in Minnesota, I don't have the statute in front of me, but there's a process to convert a manufactured home to real estate. So it becomes part of the land. He admitted that there's no record that was ever done, and that was never done. So it remains separate personal property. And in the original arguments that were made, they admitted that the manufactured home was personal property. And if it wasn't part of their original motion, when the court brought it up, what about the manufactured home? Mr. Berger and the bank could have argued, well, that's not part of this. They never argued it wasn't part of this. They just said, well, it should be discussed later. But that's not what the judge ruled. The judge struck all the exemptions in the notices. And just as a quick note.
There was no motion for amended judgment or to correct the judgment by you, I take it?
To correct this particular order that's subject to the appeal? No. But I felt it was pretty clear that the court struck all of the property claimed in the notices by Terry and Vicki O'Brien. That's all I have, Your Honors. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Vos. Thank you to both counsel for your arguments. The case is submitted. The court will issue its opinion within 90 days. Counsel in the second case may come forward and get ready.